Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is sunny and kind of warm here. I don't know. It was only like 23 degrees a few hours ago. I don't know what it is about now because my phone is dead. It needs a charge. But it's supposed to go up to 46, I think I saw now, and sunny. No, 46 and rain, but could have fooled me because it's sunny now. So I don't know. We'll see. It's nowhere near where it should be for the end of March, and I'm getting a bit tired of it. It is time for some sunshine. All right, guys. So, whoop. Where do we go today? Let me take a look. I think yesterday we ended up calling the show. Oh man, everything is like so syrupy. Hold on. I think I shared it. Only one person listened to it, so it must not have been that good. Or they just get confused when I call it silly things. But yesterday we called the show Dangling Dopamine Carrots and Psychopaths Everywhere. I thought that was a good title. It was pretty much what it is. After the show yesterday, I dug in a little bit more to dopamine. We had looked at how dopamine plays a lot of effects in the human brain. One of those things is they found that in psychopaths, they have an overabundance of dopamine. And they have this need for more. They're addicted to it. We also discovered that night owls tend to have dark triad traits, right? I wonder if staying up all night creates dopamine. I should look at that. Now remember, dopamine is that feel-good chemical. Dopamine is the chemical that you produce when you have a large accomplishment. Once you work hard and you get a big fat paycheck. But it doesn't have to be, you know, I talked about this before. I mean, doing what I'm doing now, obviously there is absolutely no financial reward. It's actually a big fat black hole of just paying for things every month. So we're motivated by dangling carrots, one of which is at least cash. When there is no cash, you have to find some other means of motivation. And trust me, this is year number four now. So I don't know. I had to find something else to motivate me when there isn't a dangling carrot. So sense of accomplishment is what I found works pretty well. And that does produce the same chemicals. Work on 10 projects at a time. Something's bound to finish up. And as soon as you're done, you can high five and get on to the next one. But at least it's something to motivate. But I came across another story yesterday that really struck me as interesting, because we have looked at the bees a few times now. And one was with Dr. Huber. And we watched or listened to that interview a few weeks back. And, you know, let me see really quick if I can find that. Dr. Huber and the Bees. That'd make a great band name, too. Hold on here. I think I found it. Because there's a new study that just came out. I think this is it. Yeah, Dr. Huber and the Honeybees. All right, let's connect here. And we're going to listen to Dr. Huber talk about glyphosate and what he's discovered is done to the honeybees. And remember, though, there was that other interview that he did, and I have that one here, too, where he talks about, in the other interview, the plants, the animals, and the soil. And it's doing a lot of the same things to those as well. So this glyphosate is causing a chelation of minerals out of the living organism. It's acting as a very strong antibiotic. And just listen. So let's hold on. Let me. I think I'm connected. No. All right. There we go. All right. So let's listen to Dr. Huber talk about what he's discovered with glyphosate in the honeybees versus nicotinids. He was looking at the nicotinid pesticides and colony collapse disorder.
We've lost about 50% of the honeybee in the world. There are three characteristics that you see with colony collapse disorder. You see a malnutrition of the bees, especially with micronutrient malnutrition. You see a malnutrition in spite of having plenty of honey and bee bread and the resource in the hive, and yet the bees are malnourished. And the third characteristic there is disorientation, and so that the bees leave the hive, they're malnourished, they're under stress, and then fail to return to the hive. But if we look at all three of those characteristics of colony collapse disorder, we see that the most widely used herbicide in the world, probably the most abused herbicide or chemical that we've ever had in agriculture, glyphosate has an impact on all three of them.
I'm going to stop for a second. This echo is irritating me. I'm going to have to kill the connection. We'll listen to a little bit more. There's about another couple minutes. But what I want to bring to your attention is they've now found that there's an issue with dopamine in bees. And they've also found that what helps produce dopamine is manganese. Now, let's listen to a little bit more, because if you remember, Dr. Huber was talking about probably one of the biggest mineral deficiencies that they found in organisms is manganese. So there was a brand new study that came out last night that was looking at bees and dopamine, and it related to manganese. And I guess there's a huge amount of manganese. There's naturally occurring manganese, and then there's pollution-based manganese that's coming from manufacturing. So we'll look at that story. Let's finish listening to the rest of this, and then let's see what we can connect here.
To start with, it's a very strong mineral chelator for essential minerals.
In this case, the chelation that's done by Roundup, or glyphosate, its active ingredient, it grabs onto important minerals, and it makes them unavailable for assimilation. So you may have copper, you may have selenium, you may have manganese in the system, but you can't use it.
All of those minerals that regulate our physiological processes that are critical for proper health and functioning and growth, that are all reduced in availability for the bee. There is another factor that's involved from a health standpoint with the bee and also with digestion. Glyphosate is also a very potent antibiotic. Most of the beneficial organisms that we rely on and that the bee rely on, such as the lactobacillus and the bifidobacteria, are very sensitive to glyphosate. In the absence of those two bacteria in the honey crop or the bee stomach, the bee can't digest the food. It can have plenty of food there. And this is what we see with colony collapse disorder. You see plenty of honey, plenty of bee bread there, but they don't have the bacteria there so that they can digest it. So
what is so disturbing, oh my God, I would so much love to meet this Dr. Huber. What's so disturbing about everything that he is saying is that I lived that myself, and all kinds of my friends are living that right now. All these weird digestive problems and leaky gut syndromes and autoimmune diseases. I mean, do you know how mine started? Mine started, well, I mean, it went way back, but that chronic fatigue syndrome and then weird allergies. But the next thing that happened was that all of a sudden, out of the blue, I couldn't digest proteins anymore for some unknown reason. It's exactly what's happening. It's killing your gut bacteria. It's killing your microbiome. And how interesting now that they're doing all kinds of research. I was deep last night up to my shoulder blades into microbiome research that was being funded by the National Institute of Health. And it's unbelievable. Like, they really think that the majority of our bodily systems, and like I've said, it's a big ecosystem. So, I mean, you can't get rid of the bacteria and expect everything to work, especially when you understand that everything is interrelated. So, all right, this echo's driving me crazy. So let's hear the rest of this clip.
But they're essentially starving in the middle of food. I know Falk did a study about 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, just putting a little glyphosate in the water for the bees, and had about a 34% mortality from them. So,
what do you know how much was put into the water?
They were the rates that were common for the area that she set this study up in.
That is amazing, because we know that glyphosate is in the air and the water. If she set up the amount of parts per million in relationship to what's there in an ambient basis, especially in the Midwest where they use all this stuff a lot, and there was a 34% death rate, then that's pretty, I mean, is that a smoking gun? Can we call that a smoking gun?
Well, certainly a red flag that says, why aren't we doing the research?
It's a smoking red flag. It's a smoking red flag. Okay, we'll go there. I was very interested in the fact that Monsanto purchased a company called Biologics, where they were studying colony collapse disorder. And why would Monsanto take over this research company that might figure out what the cause of colony collapse disorder is? And now we're bringing in this new theory, which a lot of people believe that colony collapse disorder comes from a nicotine-based insecticide that's used as a seed treatment. They're called neonicotinoids. And you end up basically creating a time-release system in the seeds that produce this insecticide for the first few weeks of the crop. And this is known to create disorientation of bees. They can't find their ways back to the hive. They've banned these neonicotinoids in certain countries in Europe. They're trying to ban them in the United States. So, Don, would the neonicotinoids, or could they explain colony collapse disorder completely, or are there anything that's missing that we need to look at something else?
Well, they don't explain why the bee isn't able to digest the honey and the bee bread and that's in the hive, why it's starving to death, or why it's micronutrient deficient. The only explanation that I know of, at least, that really fits the picture and in that whole area is the broad exposure, continuous exposure to glyphosate, so that it's not an acute toxin, but as other scientists have found, that it's probably the most chronically toxic compound that we've ever had in our environment.
You know, did you notice, too, how, and I hate this autoplay on YouTube because it screws me up here. I got to kill that. Did you notice, too, he asked that question that I asked when that first happened, when fucking Monsanto bought that bee research company. And, you know, that research company was a bunch of independent scientists. I don't think it was really any organization that shows up in all this mad science gone mad. I don't remember what their name was, but they sounded pretty innocuous. But yeah, Monsanto swept in and bought them all up. And I remember thinking to myself, well, isn't that convenient, since I always from day one thought that Monsanto had something to do with the bees dying, and I thought it was getting into the pollen and spreading. And then people would come at me and they're like, no, it's these other pesticides. They have nothing to do with them. And I'm like, okay. Dr. Huber nails it, and he nails it time and time again. I really want to see if I can find him. You know, he seems like he's pretty agreeable. I bet he would love to do an interview or two. Also, by the way, I saw Drew Lamb in chat the other night. So I hit Drew up to see if in the next week or two he would have any interest in doing a show on gardening and getting the ground ready and everything. So he said, yeah, he's super busy, but he thinks next week in the morning he'll have a day. So we'll do a good gardening show, and maybe I'll even open up the phone so we can ask questions. Drew is extremely knowledgeable, not only from a soil perspective and pH and mixing in stuff and getting stuff to come out and whatever. He has that in his blood. He has some family ties to gardening stores. But Drew also has his own aquaponics farm, commercial aquaponics farm now. He's doing great. Has all kinds of restaurants and stuff that he's supplying. And he's tried it all, built a lot of his own equipment, and it's all trial and error. And Drew's been doing great. So anyway, heads up. I'm not sure what day that'll be. The kids are on vacation next week, so next week's probably going to be really dicey for me, but it would be great if I could have a guest for at least one day, because that makes my day a lot easier, trying to get a show together. All right, so anyway, let's go back to Dr. Huber and what Dr. Huber was saying. So he was warning about the bees, glyphosate, the chelation of minerals, the inability of uptaking. I don't know. Did he say anything about manganese in that one? I'm trying to remember if I heard it, because if it isn't that one, he does mention it in the one about the animals versus the one about the bees. But I guess we're going to have to do that, because I don't remember him mentioning manganese, but I want to draw some conclusions here. All right, here. I think this is a... Might as well.
Why are the issues with glyphosate relevant to the discussion about genetically modified crops?
Glyphosate is the chemical name for that compound that mm-hmm. is attributed for herbicidal action. Mm-hmm. The Roundup is a formulated product that includes other components besides just the glyphosate chemistry in order to increase its penetration into plant cells mm-hmm. or its activity as an herbicide. When you have a genetically engineered crop that's resistant to glyphosate, it not only permits the wider use of the glyphosate, the extended exposure to it, but it also permits then the application of glyphosate directly on that crop, which many times we're consuming. What you see is that after a period of time of continued use of just one herbicide, and increasing rates of that herbicide, which have been very dramatic in the last 10 years, that you see pretty soon that entire groups of organisms just cease to exist in the soil. Now, you don't have a void in the soil, so that if you pull one group out, you have another group that comes in. You have this very dramatic change in the soil microflora and that soil biota that affects these soil-borne diseases very dramatically. And that's because glyphosate is not only a very powerful herbicide, but it's also a very strong biocide. Very selective in the soil, but it stimulates some of our soil-borne diseases. And it also changes the soil microflora that affects nutrient availability then for the crops. One of those critical components in that soil microflora that disappears with glyphosate or is severely suppressed are those organisms that make manganese available for the plant. When manganese is reduced in the plant, again, it becomes very susceptible to this pathogen. And so you have a biological component that is very powerful because of the powerful biocidal effects of glyphosate, and you also have a direct effect of glyphosate as a very strong chelating agent. Now, by chelator, we mean that's a chemical that can grab on to another micronutrient or other mineral element that's essential for a plant and immobilize it. And when that's immobilized, then the plant goes into a deficiency or reduced efficiency, so it becomes much more susceptible and for take-all disease as well as many other diseases.
Why are the issues...
Sorry, I hit it again. So he said, it actually stops an organism that then is beneficial in the uptake of manganese. Now, there's a whole bunch of clips to these interviews. So there's another one. He actually talks about the chelation of manganese out of the animals as well. So, all right. I think I've established enough of that. Let's take a look now at what the story says out of phys.org. And it caught my attention. It said manganese speeds up honeybees. Now, remember, there's a deficiency of manganese across the food chain now, and Dr. Huber has established that it is probably, or at least in his findings, glyphosate is causing that in plants, animals, and bees. So phys.org, manganese speeds up honeybees. And I was like, hey, you know, as part of the colony collapse disorder, the bees walk around and they act like they're all confused and they get lost. And they're kind of bumbly, but not in a good way, like a bumblebee. They're kind of bumbly, like they're half drunk. You know, like the end of the season when insects get all weird. So anyway, let's read what this says. Manganese speeds up honeybees. As to name one way people have changed the environment, many people would probably say global warming. Remember, this is a pretty mainstream publication, but it is a science mag. But that's just the start of it. People burn fossil fuels, but they also mine and manufacture. It's who we are. Homo fabricus, the man, the maker. And as a side effect of our ingenuity and craft, we have taken many metals originally buried safely in the Earth's depths and strewn them about the surface. Yeah, like uranium. What does it matter? Says Yudu Ben Sakar and Eric Solvik, biologists at Washington University in St. Louis, together with colleagues from Andrew Barron's lab at Macquarie University in Australia. They have published a study of honeybees in the online issue of Biology Letters on March 25th that suggests we answer this question too gullibly. And remember, it was March 25th Australia time. So that was, I'm just reading this now. This came out last night, so it's hot off the presses. Scientists first looked at effects of how low levels of manganese, which is a common industrial pollutant, I was not aware of that, on the behavior of the honeybees. At levels considered safe for human food, the metal seemed to addle the bees. They advanced through age-related work assignments faster than normal, yet completed fewer foraging trips than their sisters who were not exposed to manganese. So to addle, they like putter around doing nothing of substance, and they forewent getting all their work done and they played instead. Is that what that's saying? What does addled? I mean, I know what addled means, but in regards to bees, what are addled bees? Unable to think clearly and confused. Okay. Or of an egg rotten. So, like I said, confused bees. That's what I said before. I didn't say when I was asking what adult meant. All right. Let's get back there. Don't get distracted, Joel. We have known for a long time, one of the researchers says, that high doses of manganese kills neurons that produce dopamine, causing a Parkinson's-like disease in people, says Ben Shahar. Let's make a mental note of this because this might come in important later. Not only are we looking at manganese and bees, but we're looking at dopamine and Parkinson's-like disease. brain diseases, and they've known it for a long time. You know, I was discovering, too, in the research I was doing yesterday about dopamine and video games and creating psychopaths. And then did I mention, I know I was going to, but I don't remember if I actually cut it out or not. When I was digging in after the show yesterday, I found the study where they had been doing fMRIs of brains of kids who had quote-unquote video game addiction, and they discovered that the side of the brain that utilizes the dopamine had actually increased in size. Like, it caused that brain section to grow and to crave dopamine. We literally are turning children into psychopaths. We are. And it's all related to dopamine. But that's why this is very interesting, because if manganese is this big industrial chemical that's all over out there somewhere, which I wasn't aware of that. I thought it was just a trace mineral. And being exposed to large amounts of manganese make you get some sort of Parkinson's-like disease, yet glyphosate seems to be affecting the organisms that help the manganese uptake. I mean, is it like, I'm almost, when I was reading this last night, I was thinking, is it almost like radioactivity, let's say, where you have two different kinds of elements? There are different areas in your body that absorb nutrients and, you know, specific nutrients. So let's say, trying to remember, there's calcium for your bones. Your bones absorb calcium. But if they don't have calcium and there's environmentally available radioactive strontium, let's say, your body is going to absorb the radioactive strontium and put it into your bones because you don't have enough calcium. And so I was wondering if this wasn't something very similar. If they found a way, because manganese is very important to a lot of different bodily processes. And actually, I had all those charts pulled up the one day for the different minerals and what deficiencies in these minerals would cause. And I was actually looking at this in regards to also autism. I've been finding a huge connection now, even with the glyphosate and your body not being able to absorb proper nutrition. And this is over a lifetime, starting from very early on, and some of the disorders that can bring on. And I find it extremely interesting that many parents of autistic children have found food therapy and nutritional therapy to be the most effective in helping bring their child back to the way they were. So I wouldn't put it past these fuckers. You know, Monsanto was probably one of the most evil corporations out there. If you go, even just go to Wikipedia, and I know, Road, Wikipedia isn't a great source of information because it's all crowdsourced. But you know what? It's a good, like, lick your thumb and put it out there. Big yucky lick. And for, I mean, I use it just to get, like, a spot check understanding. Something looks fishy, I dig in way deeper. But if I just want a couple facts and bullet points, you know what, that's usually the easiest way. But go to Wiki and just take a look, or, you know, whatever, go dig into their history. But Monsanto is a very evil company, and I would not put any of this past them. That would explain all of the backdooring, the revolving doors between all of the government's regulatory agencies that they've had, and this rubber stamping that they do now with genetically modified food, the massive lobby to keep the labeling out of the marketplace. When we were really digging into nanotech and food, there was a book on Amazon. It was only available electronically because the original print version was out of print, but they were offering an electronic version, but it was like $1,000. I mean, $1,000 for an electronic book, but it was this huge compendium of nanotech research, and it had come up in a Google search when I was searching for Monsanto and Nanotech to see, you know, what they had been dabbling in, and it had pulled up probably like a 10-page excerpt in the book. I had pulled out a few sections, and if I think about it, I'll pop back because I grabbed it as a graphic and saved what it said. But yeah, they're doing a lot of research and using nanotech as well. And we know that when we looked into the RNA technology in 2014, that was part of their year beginning year statement for investors. That's exactly what they were going to do, was start manipulating RNA and targeting specific cells. And who knows, you know, I mean, what new genes that they were going to put in there to start killing insects. But I'm not going to get into that because now I'm really getting off the topic. Let's get back to manganese, bees, Parkinson's, and dopamine, okay? All right. But it says, but in this study, we were looking at low-level exposure, and this was to manganese, and we saw the opposite effect. So let's back up. All right. We've known for a long time that high doses of manganese kill neurons that produce dopamine, causing a Parkinson's-like disease in people. You know what, guys? Here's a thought. If they've been grooming not just the kids, but us too. Remember, we're all addicted to our devices now. Every time you get a ding in your message box, that produces dopamine. It's that reward system, right? We've been Pavlovianized. They've made us into slaves to our machine. That's why when they take it away or when the internet turns off, you jones a little bit. And I know even I do. I love to get away and get out. But I'll tell you, my friend has a spot that they camp at. And we went a couple times last year. And it is surrounded by some very, very high hills. There's no signal to anything there. So I don't even have self-service there. There's nothing. And it was really hard for me. Like to not have not only internet, but not even cell access or text or anything. You know, and all I kept thinking was, oh my God, if it all blows up, I'm never even going to know. Which is probably a good thing. It was extremely peaceful and beautiful there. I was with good friends, but it was just pretty messed up how you feel. I mean, I really was a little sense of panic. Like I was afraid that just because I wasn't connected, something really bad was going to happen. And it's that dependence. It's, you know, they've groomed that in all of us. But listen to what they're saying, that high doses of manganese kills neurons that produce dopamine, causing a Parkinson's-like disease in people. So if you are no longer, let's say that you've been, your body has been trained to want dopamine like we have, and it's gone on for long periods of time, so you're very groomed. And they just take it all away. So now you're going to be going through withdrawal. Your body isn't going to be producing the levels that it's used to. Is that going to cause some sort of Parkinson's-like disorder in the long term? I mean, they're saying that high doses of manganese kills neurons that produce dopamine. So then you get this Parkinson's-like disease. Well, how about if it doesn't kill the neurons that produce dopamine? How about we just stop producing the amounts of dopamine that our bodies become accustomed to? How is that going to affect the body? I don't know. That's, you know, it's a really good question. So let's make a mental note of that because I think I might want to dig into Parkinson's and some of the facets of this and get a better understanding of that, because that would be a very scary thing. All right, let's continue then. I got very sidetracked here in my thoughts. It says, in insects as well, high levels of manganese kill dopaminergic dopaminergic, D-O-P-A-M-I-N-E-R-G-I-C, dopaminergic neurons, which then reduces the level of dopamine in the brain. So high levels of environmental manganese kills neurons that produce dopamine in plants and animals, or in animals and bees and insects. But in this study, we were looking at low-level exposure. And at low-level exposure, we saw just the opposite effect. Instead of reducing dopamine levels, manganese increased them. Increases in dopamine and related neurotransmitters probably explain some of the abnormal bee behavior. Now, let's see, I ran across this at like 2 o'clock in the morning, this story. But I'm telling you, is this not some sort of like key? I mean, as we're reading about dopamine and we're hearing about dopamine and bees and Dr. Huber and glyphosate and Monsanto and dopamine and addiction and dopamine and video games, which of course we've tied back to a lot of DOD activity, the Brain Project, DARPA. I mean, it starts to sound crazy. National Institute of Health, the microbiome and all the money that's going into that with the National Institute of Health. This seems very suspicious to me that manganese happens to be this one, I don't even know if you call it a metal. I always want to call it a metal, but it's a mineral, I think. It's a chemical, at least. We can be sure of that. But that it has such a profound effect on the brain. You know, one of the things, too, that when we first started digging into Dr. Huber and his thing about the bees and manganese, I had discovered in some of my research, I started looking at symptoms that children exhibited when they had a manganese deficiency, since Dr. Huber had said that it had manganese was one of the things that was lacking in organisms that consumed or were exposed to glyphosate. And what came out of my research is that a lot of, and I don't remember what the exact symptoms were off the top of my head, but you can search deficiency of manganese in children or symptoms of deficiency, manganese deficiency in children, a lot of the symptoms were very much like ADD, personality type mood disorders, motivation. It just seemed to me like a lot of the things that we're seeing in kids today where they're slapping them with SSRIs and giving them diagnoses as having these disorders really could be some sort of nutritional deficiency that's being caused by the pesticides that are being not just squirted on our food, freaking poured on our food. Remember, you know, GMO crops, they put the resistance gene to the pesticide into the seed. So no longer do you have to very carefully squirt around the fields to prevent from killing your crops. You can just dump the shit all over your crops. Everything else dies except the crops. But I mean, now they're saying they're finding it in freaking rainwater. Glyphosate has gotten in, I mentioned this yesterday, has gotten into the hydrologic cycle, and it is now being evaporated and rained down on us in rain. It's everywhere. I even read a story that they're finding it all over the world in breast milk. I mean, honestly, this it's poisoning the entire planet. And this corporation is being allowed to play hide the pickle. And every time that they get accused of something, I mean, what did they just come out with now? Now there's the new psychological disorder for people who think their food is poisoned, like us. Yeah, now it's a psychological disorder. I don't remember what they were calling it, but, you know, people who want pure food are neurotic. God, there's nothing wrong with the food. I mean, I'm telling you, I have been my own guinea pig for 25 years, taking me a lot of years to be able to get my health back. This shit almost took me out. No doctor knew what was wrong with me. And now, over all these years, you know how many people I've met, especially just since doing this, doing the radio thing, meeting people who at least have half an open mind to go, huh, maybe it is the food that I'm eating. And all the same symptoms. It is this disorder. And I mean, we also looked at that cytochrome P450 enzyme, the Dr. Lucier thing with the absorption of drugs and all of the cascading diseases, all Western diseases that America is afflicted with. They're all related to glyphosate. All right. Again, I digress. I still want to get through this short little story. It says, okay, but in this study, we were looking at low-level exposure, and we saw the opposite effect. Instead of reducing dopamine levels, manganese increased them. I'm just wondering, you know, if there's all this environmental manganese, but glyphosate prevents your proper uptake of manganese by affecting an organism that then helps the uptake of manganese. It chelates them out of your system. If maybe there isn't some sort of manganese, an external manganese that has more profound effects, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm just trying to figure this out now, but it just seems way too interesting that it's the same chemicals affecting the brain that we were just reading about. All right. Increases in dopamine and related neurotransmitters probably explain some of the abnormal behavior. And we had established yesterday in humans as well, increases in dopamine in the brain, that abnormal behavior is called psychopathy. It turns you into a psychopath. It's the addiction chemical in the happy part of the brain. I mean, dopamine isn't the addiction chemical, but it's in the addiction part of the brain, and you can become addicted to dopamine. They can use it to manipulate you. The feel-good chemical. Very, very easy to use that to motivate a creature. It says, paradoxically, a trace amount of manganese is essential for life, and that's what we established as well. All organisms rely on the chemical properties of this metal, so it is a metal, to drive reactions in cells. And, oh yeah, here's the other one, dun, 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 to mop up the toxic byproducts of cellular life in the presence of oxygen. That was one of the big things. And you know that Robert Freitas had also talked about these bodily organisms, and I don't remember what he called them. They were macrophages, but he had synthetic macrophages. And they were talking, oh my goodness, what was that story we did about the blood-brain barrier and ultrasound and smart dust and those macrophages going in and cleaning up the toxic and the dead cells, the toxic byproducts from cellular life. So if a lack of manganese is preventing our body from getting rid of the free radicals, let's say, and getting rid of the byproducts that are poisons, that are after effects from biological life, eventually you, the organism, or the bee, the organism, or the plant, the organism, is going to end up with internal toxicity. Says, quote, we evolved in an environment where there was little manganese, and so we developed ways to pump it into our cells. But now environmental levels are quite different from those which we are adapted, and we really don't know what that means for human health, he says. What does that mean for human health? When we try to understand pathologies, we often look at the extremes, he added. We tend to ignore more modulatory changes like this one and assume that we don't need to worry about them. But that may be a mistake. The bees, while vacuuming up everything in the environment, and I've said this 10 million times, might be serving as an early warning indicator of an environmental toxin. They are the canary in the coal mine. Ben Shahar, researcher, did not set out to discover the effects of manganese on bee behavior. Instead, he was trying to study the link between responsiveness to sugar and the reward circuit in the brain. Now, remember, we've talked about that too. High fructose corn syrup and dopamine and cocaine and tobacco, they all work on that same reward center in the brain that is also responsible and reacts to addiction. When a honeybee detects sugar, it reflexively extends its proboscis, a stereotype behavior that can be experimentally manipulated and quantified. The poor little bee. The older the bee, the more responsive it is to sugar. That's pretty interesting. In honeybee colonies, tasks are divided according to age. For the first 2 to 3 weeks of adult life, bees typically take care of the brood in the hive. Then they shift to foraging outside the hive for the remainder of their lives, which is 5 to 7 weeks. I didn't realize that they only lived that long. Figured they would have at least lasted the summer. In 1995, scientists screening for genes that affect sugar response in fruit flies discovered a gene that reduced it. So they were screening for a gene that affected the sugar response in fruit flies. They named it Malvivo after a sour character in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night who is accused of wanting to outlaw cakes and ale. Damn him. Malvivo was later shown to encode a protein that pumps manganese across cell membranes, Shahar said. In 2004, he published results that showed that age-related transitions in honeybees are associated with increased expression of the Malvivo gene and higher levels of manganese in the brain cells. So wait, we got to read that again. So age-related transitions in honeybees are associated with increased expressions of the Malvivo genes and higher levels of manganese in the brain cell. And those older bees also, we had seen in the paragraph before, reacted more to sugar when they got older. Ben Shahar wondered why manganese changed feeding behavior. At high doses, it affects the dopaminergic pathway in the brain that is associated with motor control. And that's why they were saying about mimicking Parkinson's disease, because that's the tremor. This is why manganese toxicity causes Parkinsonian-like symptoms such as tremor and rigidity in humans. There you go. But another dopaminergic pathway reinforces behaviors such as eating or sex. What if low levels of manganese modulated feeding through this pathway, he wondered? Perhaps manganese offered a handle, a tool to manipulate the reward circuit and to better understand how it works. You know, this is what I was saying yesterday. I think they've become very adept at manipulating us through this dangling carrot. And it seems to me that not only have they been manipulating people, but now they're understanding how to manipulate insects as well. Pay attention. You know, this is at a level now where 99% of the population is never going to get this. If you're trying to explain to them that they're being manipulated through their what do they call it? Hold on, where's that word? Dopaminergic pathways. They're going to tell you to go smoke another one. All right, let's read the last section of this. To make the connection between diet and behavior, he needed to be able to quantify tiny amounts of neurotransmitters, chemicals that transmit signals between neurons, in case you didn't know, in the brain. He contacted co-author Andrew Barron at Macquarie University and Eric Solvik, the first author on the paper, who was then a doctoral student in Barron's lab and is now a postdoctoral research associate at Ben Schrahar's lab. The two labs collaborated to study levels of these molecules in the brains of fruit flies and honeybees, fed differing levels of manganese. They also tracked the bees by attaching little tiny radio frequency tags to them when they were a day old, still in the soft and fluffy, unable to sting you stage. And in both honeybees and fruit flies, exposure to manganese at levels considered safe for humans increased brain levels of dopamine and octopamine, which is another neurotransmitter, and this one is specifically important to insects. At the higher exposures, it also altered behavior of the bees, which became foragers sooner than normal, but made very relatively few foraging trips, perhaps because they got lost or tired. Manganese is not the number one dangerous thing out there in the environment, says Ben Schrahar, nor do we know its effects on our brains. Nor do we know if its effects on our brains are the same way that it does those of the insects. Nobody has done any studies. But even if it has no impact on us, it clearly affects the bees, and we depend on bees for most of our fruits and vegetables in our daily diet. And that is the end of that. But here, manganese deficiency symptoms in children. Here's my search from when I did this. And here's my link. This is from the Linus Pauling Institute out of Oregon. And I actually, Drew's quoted these guys quite a few times. Manganese. Manganese is a mineral element that is both nutritionally essential and potentially toxic. The derivative of its name is from Greek. The word for magic, the Greek word for magic, remains appropriate because scientists are still working to understand the diverse effects of manganese deficiency and manganese toxicity in living organisms. Manganese plays an important role in a number of physiological processes as a constituent of multiple enzymes and an activator of other enzymes. Manganese superoxide dismutase is the principal antioxidant enzyme in mitochondria. And it's the principal antioxidant enzyme in mitochondria, guys. Because mitochondria consume over 90% of the oxygen used by cells, they are especially vulnerable to oxidative stress. The superoxide radical is one of the reactive oxygen species produced by mitochondria by the ATP synthesis, and that's for energy. Manganese superoxide dismutase catalyzes the conversion of superoxide radicals to hydrogen peroxide, which can reduce to water by other antioxidant enzymes. Metabolism. A number of manganese-activated enzymes play an important role in the metabolism of carbohydrates, amino acids, and cholesterol. Do we really want to go into all these different enzymes? Because these are going to be hard to pronounce. Pruvate carboxylase, a manganese-containing enzyme. This is even ridiculous. There's a bunch of different enzymes. They are critical in gluconeogenesis, which is the production of glucose from non-carbohydrate precursors. Arginase, which is another manganese-containing enzyme, is required by the liver for the urea cycle, a process that detoxifies ammonia generated during amino acid metabolism. That's a big deal. If you end up with a high level of urea in your body, I mean, that's where what's it called? Gout comes from. It's very acidic. Starts causing pain in the joints and inflammation. If your liver stops working properly, I mean, that's what's filtering out any of the toxins that are in your body. Man, did they really hit something that was like that important to biology? And we're showing that there's a deficiency now. It says in the brain, manganese activated enzymes, glutamine synthetase converts the amino acid glutamate to glutamine. Glutamate is an excitotoxic neurotransmitter and a precursor to an inhibitory neurotransmitter, gamma aminobutyric acid, which is GABA. And I was reading a lot about GABA, actually. A lot of people take that and they find some improvement. It's also important in bone development. Manganese deficiency results in abnormal skeletal development in a number of animal species. Wound healing. Wound healing is a complex process that requires increased production of collagen. Manganese is required for the activation of proteolase, an enzyme that functions to provide the amino acid proline for collagen formation in human skin cells. It's also important in iron. Although the specific mechanisms for manganese absorption and transport have not been determined, some evidence suggests that iron and manganese can share common absorption and transport pathways. I'm down to the last 30 seconds. It's been shown also to decrease the bioavailability. Oh, supplemental magnesium is shown to decrease the bioavailability of manganese. And also supplemental calcium slightly decreases manganese bioavailability as well. All right, guys. You know what? I guess we're going to have to continue on this tomorrow. Make sure you stick around. It's Wednesday night. Josh is up live tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. We got a new tune coming up here, too. We got the guys from New York City. After Josh... Truth or Talk, April and Verstein, their week show, and Nick and DB on 11 p.m.